Yo, fellow hunters. Welcome to the Hunting the First Aid podcast. This is the February 2009 edition of the Hunting the First Aid podcast. I know we had our first podcast last month where we discussed snow goose hunting and the new snow goose hunting regulations in Delaware, and that was very well received. So I wanted to make sure that we got we kept to our monthly schedule by getting our next podcast out here in February. So what we're going to talk about today, which is a somewhat off-the-wall topic, but it is a hunting-related topic nonetheless, and that is crow hunting. Now, I know a lot of people out there are saying crow hunting. Who the hell hunts crows? But it's funny because I said the same thing the first time I was invited by some friends of mine to go and hunt crows. I figured, you know, that'd be like shooting fish in a barrel, going out and shooting crows. That just sounds ridiculous. But the fact is, crow hunting is a very good way to practice your wing shooting skills. And, you know, I joke around that there really is no better way to beat the post-deer hunting blues. And what I mean by that, you know, at the end of January, hunting pretty much stops if you're a deer hunter. There are some opportunities that exist for waterfowl, but a lot of people see January as the end of hunting season. However, crow season is open. As a matter of fact, here in Delaware, you can hunt crows essentially from, I think, July 1st all the way through the end of March, with only a couple months closed, or a couple months of the breeding season closed to crow hunting. So with that being said, crows really make for challenging hunting. Crows are by no means dumb birds. They are actually wary and very intelligent birds. So they do make it very difficult for you to hunt them. Now, let's talk about some basic facts about crows that are interesting and that can help you out with your hunts. A lot of crows live in family groups. So what that means is they typically roost in family units of young birds and older birds mixed together. But a lesser known fact about crows is they sort of flock together in communal roosts during the winter months. And by that I mean you can pick a location in any given area, and if you see all or many crows heading the same direction every evening, typically they're going to a communal roost. Now, one of the locations where we hunt here in Delaware is a spot along the Delaware River that is one of these communal roosts. Now, to give you an adequate picture of what this communal roost is, I am not exaggerating when I say that literally thousands of crows come to this location to roost every single night. So they will come in flocks of 10 or flocks of 50. Sometimes they come in flocks of several hundred, and they all gravitate towards this one roost location. So if you're lucky enough to find one of these communal roosts during your deer scouting, or your deer hunting, or your waterfowl hunting, whatever the case is, write that down and be aware of that, because that is the spot where you want to set up for crows. Now, you know, you may think that it's easy as just as coming out with a shotgun and some shells and just waiting for these crows to fly by, and you just shoot until your heart's content, but really it's not as simple as you think. As I mentioned earlier, crows are very intelligent, and they can learn, or you can educate them by setting up in the same spot time after time, and after a while they will begin to associate either people or gunshots or dying crows. They will associate that with a certain flyway, and they will change their path. So it's something to consider when you're choosing your crow hunting spot. Okay, let's take a break right now. I am Stephen Candace, and this is the Hunting the First Aid podcast. We will be back after these messages.
Do you know someone who loves the total experience of hunting? Maybe that person is on your gift list. Maybe it's you. Hunting the First State is a book filled with an amazing wealth of knowledge about hunting Delaware. Written by Delaware hunter Stephen M. Kendis, Hunting the First State gives you invaluable facts and practical tips, history, tactics, and locations associated with Delaware hunting. The perfect holiday gift. Hunting the First State is available at huntingthefirststate.com, online, and local booksellers, and at select Delaware hunting supply stores.
Hi, I am Stephen Kendis, and welcome back to the Hunting the First State podcast. To give you an example of how we typically hunt for crows, I'll walk you through our basic crow setup here. Normally what we do is we use a predator decoy to attract the crows, because I'm not sure if you've seen this, but I know many of you have. If you just go out in your yard, or you go out in a park, and you hear a bunch of crows calling back and forth to each other with their familiar call call sound, you know, in a lot of cases, the crows are what's called mobbing. They're mobbing an owl or a hawk to chase that bird out of their territory. So one good way of getting crows to come to you is to set up one of these predator decoys. Now, we typically use a plastic owl decoy, which you can buy at any hunting and fishing store or a garden center. A lot of stores that sell bird feeders and bird feed and such, they have plastic owls that sort of keep other predators away from certain birds that are feeding. But the owl seems to work the best when we hunt crows, so we'll actually take a plastic owl, either rig it up in a tree, or we will put it on a fallen log somewhere in an open space where the crows can readily see the owl. Then we will also place crow decoys on the ground and on some branches in close proximity to the owl decoy. So there are some very good crow decoys on the market now. I know the ones that we have been using over the past several years are made by Greenhead Gear. They are flock decoys. That's that black velvety material that covers the entire decoy, and they're pretty much life size, and they are very lifelike. And when you put these on the ground near the owl, it looks like a true flock of crows mobbing this owl decoy. Another way we add realism to our decoy spread is by using a type of decoy. It's sort of like a flying decoy, almost like a kite. And the company that makes that decoy, I believe they're called Real Wings. And Real Wings, they make a foam crow decoy that essentially you anchor with kite string, and on a windy day you have these decoys flying above your spread of your owl and your crows on the ground, and it looks like crows flying back and forth above the owl. And again, with the right amount of wind, these decoys work phenomenally, and they really do look like crows flying back and forth, hovering over this owl. So that's yet one more way to add some realism to your decoy spread. So right off the bat, now you have your predator decoy and you have your owl decoys. And in a lot of cases, that's good enough. Now, you really should try to call the crows to alert the crows that something's going on. And you can go right to any sporting goods store, or any hunting and fishing store, and purchase a crow call, a mouth call, for $10 or less. I mean, they have acrylic calls, they're wood calls, and they both work. I mean, whatever type of call you can find, they all work. I mean, crows make various sounds, and the best way to determine how a crow sounds is to actually go out and listen to them. I mean, it's not rocket science. But an even easier way, or I think a better way of calling crows, is to get an automated caller with crow sounds. Now, we use an automated caller that has multiple sounds on it, and one of the sounds that we play is called crow and owl fight. So it actually sounds like crows mobbing an owl. So you hear some owl hoots and you hear the crows essentially raising Cain with this owl. And when you play that loud enough, that will get the attention of crows. Now, you combine the decoys, the crow decoys, your predator decoy, and the calling, and you combine that with setting up in close proximity to this communal roost, and it will make for a very good hunting day. You know, we hunt crows mainly in the afternoon when the crows fly to the communal roost, and we sort of set up a quarter mile or so before the crows actually get to the roost spot. But my impression is you could very easily hunt them in the morning as they leave the communal roost as well. So it is there's a science to crow hunting, just like every other hunting. It's not, you know, you just don't want to go out there unprepared and think you're going to shoot some crows. Now, granted, that tactic may work when you do hunt crows. You can probably pass shoot crows, and it will work for the first couple of times. But as I mentioned earlier, you will educate them, and they will change what they do. So some other things that you may want to consider when crow hunting are the type of gun you use and the type of shells you use. Now, I've been out crow hunting with 20 gauges and 12 gauges, and I'll be honest with you, I think that you're better off bringing a 12 gauge with nice, strong, long range number 6 loads, because crows typically are high flying birds, and you know they will sort of dive bomb down at your owl decoy, and they will come in low range when they think that they're protecting those other crows or protecting their territory, and you don't really want to shoot at them until they get low enough to hit, because you may think that these crows are easy to bring down, but truly they are not. There have been many crows that we've been astounded that I know I have shot at, or multiple people have shot at the exact same bird, and they just fly away. So it is important to consider the type of firepower that you have. I mean, you don't want to shoot shots that you know are either going to wound the bird or just miss the bird, because once those first several shots go up, the rest of the crows in that flock are going to flare up and they're not going to come back. So you have to wait for the next flock to come back into range. So it's important to not shoot until they are within range, and it's important to know how your gun fires, what your effective range is, and how effective your loads are. So again, it's important to consider the type of gun and the ammo that you're using.
Are you out of work? Do you need a change of careers? Do you just want a good job? Well, if you want a good job, get a good resume. GoodResume.com is the locally owned professional resume writing service that will help you stand out from the crowd and land that perfect job. Don't trust your resume, the key to your future, to an unskilled resume writer. Instead, trust the skilled writers at GoodResume.com to create your custom attention-grabbing resume. Remember, if you want a good job, get a good resume at GoodResume.com.
Okay, welcome back to the Hunting the First Aid podcast. That about wraps up our discussion on crow hunting. You know, I did mention earlier that crow hunting is a very good way to practice your wing shooting skills, and it's a good way to pass time after the end of deer season. So, you know, when you look at it logically, if you're going to go to the range and going to shoot clay pigeons, or you're going to go target shooting, it just makes more sense to go out and shoot crows where you are shooting at live targets that really mimic ducks and geese or other types of game birds that you will pursue. So again, it just makes sense to shoot at some live targets that can definitely help you practice your wing shooting skills. Plus, hunting crows, you really do, you know, it's funny, I joke that you do your part to help control West Nile virus, which is somewhat of a joke, but it is true. You know, crows are a carrier of West Nile virus. And the other thing is, there are many farmers in the area, especially in Delaware here, who appreciate crow hunters because crows really damage a lot of crops. I know I heard from a watermelon farmer several summers ago who told me that, yeah, he really can't stand crows because they come in and damage his watermelon crop. So you will be appreciated by some farmers out there when you hunt crows. And, you know, again, it is something that you can do to help pass the time, to beat the post-deer hunting blues. And one other thing that I want to mention about crow hunting, it's a very good way to introduce children to hunting because, you know, when you bring a child out to a deer stand during deer season, they sit there in the cold for hours on end and they may not even see a deer, let alone get a shot. I can almost guarantee when you take a child crow hunting, at the very least, you will see crows. And in more cases than not, if you set up properly, if you have the right decoys, if you have the right caller, and if you're in the right location, you will get shots. So it's a very good way to pass the time, a very good way to introduce a child to hunting. That about wraps it up for today. So I want to thank our sponsors, Hunting the First State, A Guide to Delaware Hunting, and GoodResume.com. If you want a good job, get a good resume. We'll see you next time.